Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. You all, let us for a moment, you all, reflect on last Sunday's sermons, which was produced and preached throughout all pulpits around the world. You all, the message that stood out for me, it was your the amazing gift of new life. But why do I say this? Well, it's because you all, this is the reason you all that Jesus gave. In John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, which I will use you all as a passage for this message. You know, the passage it reads, and of course, you know, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. But you all, what is abundant life? You all, the abundant life is what we live, you all, in the dash. You all, the question was asked, how do I learn to live? Well, the renowned psychologist responded to that question, and he said, the best way to learn to live is to simply live and learn. Be mindful of the present and take time to appreciate for all that you have and the beauty of the world with the attitude of gratitude. Having faith and gratitude helps to move forward in life and gives strength to face troubles and struggles, which is a part of life. Then he said, it is always important to expand and to grow our horizons, as the basic purpose of everything in this universe is to grow at different perspectives. It is also important to take time for yourself and practice self-care. Make sure to get enough sleep, eat healthy foods, move your body, drink some water, and engage in activities that bring you joy and fulfillment. Life is a gift. Cherish every moment while you have it. Now, you all, that's really a beautiful rendition of how do I learn to live life. Although certainly, you all, we would all have different ingredients if the question was posed to us. And certainly, you all, we may not all agree on every word. However, you all, there is one thing that I am certain, y'all, that we can all agree on this evening. And that is, y'all, we are all living, y'all, in unprecedented times. I mean, we've all witnessed unprecedented adversities, hardships throughout the land over the past 5 years. And we're also certain, y'all, that the future is extremely uncertain. I mean, y'all, we've lost, y'all, hundreds, thousands, even millions, y'all, of our countrymen and women to wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, even the pandemic. Your dreams and lifelong plans for many have been shattered. Families have been broken at astronomical levels. I mean, there are so many of y'all who are just standing in awe, and so many others y'all who are still trying to make sense out of the plight of the world. But they also know y'all that they must keep on living, what come what may. In fact, y'all, we must all keep on living despite the adversities of life, would come what may. And with this thought in mind, y'all, I would like to use as a title of our message this evening, Living the Abundant Life, Living in the Dash. Once again, the title of our message this evening is Living the Abundant Life, Living in the Dash. Now, y'all, I would like to start this message this evening, y'all, with a soul-challenging question, a question which I would like to pose to each of us this evening. Now, y'all, you can answer this question within your own heart, but, y'all, my question for us this evening is this. Y'all, what if, y'all, you knew for sure that you have just 30 days to live? I mean, how would you live out that 1 month? I mean, what things would you do? I mean, what would matter enough to focus on? And what would suddenly become unimportant? I mean, what would consume those 30 days? And what would you discard? Y'all, the challenge for us this evening is that, y'all, the next month, it's not, y'all, just an academic exercise in seeing what clutter we can remove from our life or what meaningful things we could focus on. Now, y'all, I want to challenge us, y'all, for the next 30 days and beyond, to adopt a 1 month to live outlook on life. Y'all, if I had 1 month to live, surely, y'all, it might open my eyes up to seeing my blessings as blessings rather than bearing them like burdens. Or perhaps, y'all, I would make that phone call. You know the one, y'all, the one we've been putting off for all these years. Or perhaps, y'all, I would ask forgiveness for a wrong, y'all, that I've committed in my personal life or even in my ministry. You know, y'all, I have seen y'all during my early vocation as an HIV counselor. Y'all, I've seen people call others to their bedside as they neared the end of this life. Well, one instance comes to mind, y'all, when the person dying, they called in many that they had wronged in this life. The dying person, y'all, he made tremendous confessions. He asked forgiveness, and he attempted to right many wrongs. Now, y'all, this sounds noble, but is it? Really, y'all, is it noble, y'all, to live for years with bitterness, regret, disappointment, pain, sin? And then, y'all, when it is in fact the most convenient, unload those burdens upon those who will be left behind as we pass into the next life. I mean, is it noble, y'all, to make it right when there should be no responsibility or burden of living rightly after that? You see, y'all, at the end of our lives, we often see things, y'all, with increased clarity. I'm convinced, y'all, that it is because at the end, y'all, all of our forced pretense is stripped away. Now we have nothing to shield us from being honest with self or with others or even with God. Y'all, for the next month, I want to invite each of you to commit within yourself to living as though it was your last. Y'all, we have an opportunity before us to grow deeply as individuals and widely as the body of Christ. Y'all, join me on this journey, would you? You see, y'all, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I mean, we've learned this truth, y'all, more than any other over the past 5 years. You see, y'all, death is more universal than life. You see, everyone dies, but not everyone lives. A great scholar once wrote, "I am certain and convinced that it is not the fear of death that our lives ending that haunts our sleep, so much as the fear that, as far as the world is concerned, we might as well never have lived." Surely, y'all, our time on this earth is limited. I mean, no matter how uncomfortable it is for you or for me, you know, there is one universal principle in this life. It will end, and for us all. So the question, y'all, is not, how do I avoid death? Rather, y'all, the question is, how do I avoid not having lived? Life is short. It's shorter than y'all, it has immediate meaning. Y'all, my life and your life is happening right now. Right this second. Y'all, for a good amount of my life, I used to live it like, y'all, my life had not even started yet. And when I was a child, I remember thinking, y'all, how great it would be when I got bigger. And then when I got bigger, I remember thinking, y'all, how wonderful it would be when I get out on my own and make my life what I wanted it to be. And as a young adult, I remember, y'all, thinking how great my life would be when I graduated college and accomplished my dreams. And then one day, y'all, it occurred to me that, y'all, I was always, y'all, looking off down the road to the future and not really living for today. Y'all, it occurred to me, y'all, that my life is happening right now, not someday. Y'all, perhaps this may be true of some of us who are in our latter years. You see, y'all, we dwell excessively on the past. You see, dreaming, y'all, is important, but forgetting to live right now, well, it places the future before the present. You're remembering the beauty of yesterday is of great value, but living in the past, y'all, that robs us of the present. Life, y'all, is happening right now. How we live fuels the day, and what happened in the past, it instructs the present. Life is the day's activity. You know, I had a fascination many years when I was a youngster as well with old gravestones, y'all, the dates and inscriptions. Now, we're not talking about a morbid fixation on cemeteries, but you know, they were compelling and interesting places to me. You see, y'all, when I was a little boy again, in the hood, we used to, go out, and my buddy and I'd be out all day long on Saturdays. We have all types of interesting things we get into, but we would always, end up at the cemetery. And I remember you all standing there as a little boy, and I'd ask myself, and I'd be thinking, what kind of people are they? In other words, what was their life like? You see, on a gravestone, there are typically two dates and a dash in between. Sometimes, there's a passage of scripture or a few words, about the person. Great mother, friend to mankind, and so on. These words, they seldom truly encapsulated even a portion of the life that person lived. However, the two dates and the dash, they make a stark point. Our lives, all that we are, all that we do, all that makes up our existence is what we did in the dash. So-and-so was born on such and such a date, lived life in the dash, and then died on such and such a date. My brothers and sisters, we are presently, each one of us, living in the dash. Now, we don't get to choose the length of the dash, only the breadth and the value of the life we live in it. We are presently using our dash. How are we doing it? Are we in a mad dash, to pack as much as possible into our dash? Are we dashing, to live speedily, pursuing things that don't matter and won't last? God's word tells us, it says, teach me to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's in Psalms 90 and 12. God has called us, to live fully in the recognition, that our days are limited, so that we will recognize the value of this moment, and then this moment, and now this moment. Your life is short, that it has brevity, or it will have meaning. You see, our time is as limited as it is in the hands of the sovereign God of creation. However, he does, though, he gives us, the choice about how we're going to use the time he's given us. See, God, he determines the length of our dash, but we determine, the breadth and the quality of our dash. For some, you're hearing that they only have 30 days to live. They don't have a whole lot to change, or perhaps nothing at all. Yes, there are those who are certain, that they are, in fact, have not been wasting their dash. For these people, the news of 30 days to live, it's shocking, it's painful. While they mourn for the hurt of those they leave behind, they rest assured that they have been, living each day as the great gift of God that it is. So if you are one of these people, then that's great. No, that's wonderful. However, if you're not one of these people, then the next 30 days or so is about becoming one of these people. You see, in the grand scheme of things, even the longest life of 100 years is relatively short. Now, listen, those of us who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city and we'll spend a year there and carry on business and make more money. We don't even know, what will happen tomorrow. We just don't know. We must not view the brevity of life as a means of discouragement. No, let's not do that. We must accept what is and then learn what it means. God made life short so that it would matter. The Apostle Paul, he says in 2 Timothy, 4th chapter, 6th, 7th verse, for I have already been poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, we will not use our dash perfectly, no matter how intentious we are. However, if we're not intentional about how we use it, And we won't even experience you all a portion of the victory in this life that is available to us in Christ. So for the next 30 days, I want to invite you all to be honest with yourself. You see, y'all, no change was ever produced in the heart, which did not, y'all, at the very least, deal with itself honestly. You see, so many people, we want to put their past behind them without ever placing it in view in front of them. You see, far too often, y'all, we want change, but we're not willing, y'all, to be honest about the things that we need to change. Your victory never comes cheaply. If we knew that we only had 30 days to live, we would likely right wrongs. We would love those we have neglected. We would forgive those whom we harbor bitterness. And we would see our lives in radically different terms. But why wait until then to get it right? The two great errors with regard to this, I would suggest is that there are those of us who say, I'm too young to care. I'll get it right later. Then there are those of us who say, I'm too old to care. Oh, it's too late. I've already got it wrong. Or at least as right as I'm going to get it. You'll hear the command of the Lord. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down with hate in your heart. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Older Christians, there is no expiration date on the commands of God. Younger Christians, we are not promised tomorrow. Join me, would you? Let us, for the next 30 days, make this experience impact on our lives that will last for the remaining and totality of our lives. Now, as we close out, I want to leave us with a poem that will encapsulate the totality of the potency of the significance of how God expects us to live. And this poem, is entitled Living in the Dash. And it reads, I read of a man who stood up to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from beginning until the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between the years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we lived and loved and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you like to change? For you never know how much time is left, and that can still be arranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and to love the people in your life like you've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remember that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life actions rehashed, would you be proud of the things they say and how you spent your dash? My brothers and sisters in Christ, y'all, love God, love life, love your fellow man as we continue living the abundant life, living in the dash. May God bless you. May God keep you, is my prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.